Hello, fellow homebrewers. JP here, and I want to introduce to you the brand new Brewbuilt X1 Conical Series available at More Beer. More Beer sells the highest standard in homebrewing equipment, and the Brewbuilt Conicals are just that. They're made from mirror-polished 304 stainless steel, and they come with loads of features that you and I have been looking for. They have a full 2-inch bottom dump valve, which will eliminate your clogging issues, while the sturdy base includes 4 reinforced legs, just like those big pro tanks do. More Beer also carries the Brewbuilt line of options and add-ons like casters, pressure kits, and even external glycol chillers. So you can find out more about the new Brewbuilt X1 conical uni tanks by going over to morebeer.com for detailed videos on the entire line of Brewbuilt conicals. You can trust Brewbuilt with your next fermentation, and you can trust More Beer to find the right conical for you. Brewbuilt at morebeer.com.
Everybody, welcome to this session. I'm your host, Justin Crosley. Excited to be back in the studio. It's a new year already. Feels like the same year, but it's a new one. It has a 3 at the end of it now. Things are going so wildly different this year than they were last year, if you can sense the sarcasm. I'm happy to be here, though, with new shows. Not new brewers, but new brewers of the year. I haven't had Ghost Town on my show since they became the most famous brewery in the world. So that's how I describe Brewery of the Year.
Oh, yeah, shucks.
I got Ghost Town Brewery from Oakland, California in the studio with me. I've got Justin, the head brewer. Welcome.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
I got Trevor, the lead brewer, is hanging out with us today.
Howdy doody.
Ryan's hanging out with us, co-founder and artist extraordinaire. And Evan's here.
Hi.
I did. Wait. Here.
That's
there you
me.
Go. Hi, Evan.
Hey, man. How are you?
I've been mean to Evan for months now, I think.
You're going
to
hear from Evan?
Yeah. Let me get that microphone back off. all right. Hopefully, you're watching us live on Facebook. Once again, YouTube failed me, so I know I scheduled the show there, but you're not watching it there. But thanks for tuning in. We got a lot to do today and excited to be here and get it done. A couple things I got to take care of first. Thanks to our sponsor, More Beer. You can go to morebeer.com. Check them out. They got everything you need. If you're a pro brewer or a home brewer, or if you want to make wine or coffee or whatever, they have all of it, and they're awesome people. They also still do Free Beer Friday on YouTube. You should go check it out. Plus, a plethora of other YouTube shows. And in fact, in just a couple days, I'm doing another show with Vito from More Beer. And I think he came down to Ghost Town and did one of his YouTube shows with you guys.
Yes, he did. We discussed Nose Goblin.
Nose Goblin, which we're going to talk about today. And you can get the Ghost Town Nose Goblin homebrew ingredient kit at More Beer right now. I'll have a link in the show notes that you can click on, and then you can go buy it. It's an amazing, amazing beer. Won a gold medal at the Great American Beer Festival in 2022 and 2021.
What?
Yes. That's ridiculous,
I
by
know.
The way.
Yeah, we're,
that's some Firestone Walker shit right there.
We're pretty fucking juiced about it, man. Yeah, it was what? Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I still get goosebumps just hearing you say it right now, man.
That's pretty dope.
Nah, yeah, we're very honored that happened and stoked.
All right, we're going to talk all about that, but you can go over to morebeer.com or click the link in the show notes and check out that recipe kit. I have recently come around to double IPAs. But not all of them. And that one is on my list of delicious. Ooh. That's a great one. I put that up there with Juice Above the Clouds, which is my favorite.
Ooh. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So go over to More Beer and check them out. Other ways you can support us. For one, Spring Brews Festival has been scheduled and tickets are on sale now. It's Saturday, March 25th. It's our 12th year of doing Spring Brews Festival. It was Winter Brews Festival for a while, but who's counting? It's fine. Same beer festival now happens in the spring. So get your tickets now. Go to thebrewingnetwork.com. Click on the event. It'll be right there on the homepage. And early bird tickets save you a bunch of money. So do that before early bird tickets sell out. And then we charge you more for procrastinating. Because I have to suffer for procrastinating in my life, so I'm going to make you do it too. Get your cheap tickets now or suffer like me. Also, you can do your Amazon shopping. I know so many of you do that. Everybody shops on Amazon. Just click the Amazon link on our homepage first, and then that helps us out. You don't have to spend any extra coin. You can also just support any of our sponsors, Williams Brewing, Beersmith, the 21st Amendment. You can go to any of our sponsors and check them out, and that's a great way to support us. Or if you have a little extra coin, just hit the donate button on our homepage, and you can donate as little as $2 a month, and we would love you for that. So many of you have been doing it for years, and thank you. We're happy to be here because of you. All right, that's it. Let's talk about Brewery of the Year. So I'm at the Great American Beer Festival this year. I'm backstage, and I'm streaming the awards, and I keep hearing your name. I keep seeing you guys come up on stage. I think Justin missed it, right? But you were there, Ryan?
That's right.
Yeah, I put up a great photo of you guys from GABF on our YouTube page, but it's not working. Well. So I'll put it on my homepage. Were you doing, you were like a new dad or just had to be a dad or something, Justin?
Yeah. No, we were just at hop selection the whole week before.
Oh, right. Okay.
So, yes, because of my wife and I. I had to be home with my daughter. Wanted to be home with my daughter. Obviously, sure. Wanted to be there. But yeah, no, I was home with my daughter that weekend, and because I was out of town the whole week before.
And isn't that how it works? I know so many brewers who like they have their biggest year at GABF on the 1 year they had to skip or whatever.
Oh yeah,
that you couldn't be on stage.
Well, I don't think I'm allowed to go anymore now.
Justin's actually
I wasn't at the World Beer Cup either when we won.
Oh, so, this makes sense.
Yeah, so they're like, I don't know, man.
You're the jinx, and you'll feel like the jinx if you do go.
That's why, we were talking today. I was like, fuck, I don't know if I should go to Nashville right this year. I don't know, man.
Maybe you're the problem in the room.
Oh, that sucks, too, because Nashville's the greatest place to do an event, too.
When I can go, I just won't attend the ceremony.
There you go, yeah. You still have to, hole up in your hotel room and watch on the computer.
Exactly.
That might be fine. I think that's far enough away, wherever your hotel is. So, but you still, were you following along?
Your ass. Oh, okay. Yeah, totally. I was sitting in my room with my kid watching everything, trying to celebrate with her, but she's two, so she didn't really.
She didn't care. She's like, whatever, Dad.
She didn't give a shit.
Yeah. So you guys won for Mordant, and what's that beer?
That's an IPA. We won in the strong pale category. It's kind of borderlines both, I would say, because it's like a lower ABV, not as bitter, but it's a 50-50 Mosaic Strata IPA.
Okay. Nice. So pretty simple, but stronger than a regular pale ale.
Exactly.
Okay, and then we already mentioned Gold for Nose Goblin, which is double IPA.
Double IPA.
And so is Nose Goblin kind of like a year-round beer for you guys, or is that still just kind of once a year?
Well, we were doing it twice a year before 2021's award, and then we went to quarterly. Now we're doing it bimonthly, I believe, the plan. Okay. So then, still we'll throw other doubles in between, but it's still not a year-round offering.
Okay. Well, every other month is pretty good.
Yeah,
it's great. I know when it comes in here, my staff buys it up too. They're like, oh, Nose Goblin's back.
Right.
So, yeah.
Awesome.
Great beer. Okay. And we'll get back into the details of that. But then the silver medal for Cave Dweller.
Yep.
And what was that beer?
So that's, you can call it whatever, we entered it in the IPL category. We advertise it as a West Coast Pilsner, but it's, higher ABV. It's borderlining 6%.
Okay.
IBUs are, in the high 40s, low 50s for that beer. So 100% Mosaic.
Got it.
But yeah, lager yeast, 100% Pilsner malt, 100% Mosaic.
That's crazy, just 100% Mosaic.
Oh, yeah.
I would think it needs something else, something else in the IPL, but that magical Mosaic.
Dude, not Mosaic.
We
take a lot of pride in our Mosaic selections. So we get some pretty fire Mosaic.
And then you just mentioned it. So you guys go do your own hop selection.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Have you guys always been able to do that? I know there was a volume thing for that.
We have been for the last 4 years.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but you have to, depending on, we good majority of our hops through YCH. And you definitely have to hit a volume. You have to basically buy over 5,000 pounds of one variety just to qualify for self-selection.
I see. Okay. And do you feel that that's really changed the quality of the hops that you get? Because I think it's easy to say, all right, pretty much all the hops YCH sells are good. They're a world-class company. Mm-hmm. But some got to be better than others. And if you get to choose them, has you feel like that's changed it, the game for you?
Oh, 100%, dude.
Okay.
Mainly because, you know, we've, over the last few years with these awards, you know, we've been making relationships with the farmers.
Oh, nice.
So then we have those, you know, private conversations with the farmers on the side to kind of see how everything's going. And we've fallen in love with certain farms that do our mosaics for our citrus. So every year we can request to have those lots back on the table for us to sniff.
Okay.
And then we'll blindly rub them. We don't like to know what we're doing when we go into it. And then from there we can reassess. But
nice.
Yeah, we've been picking the same mosaic for a few years in a row now.
Wow. So. Blindly.
Blindly.
And does it end up being like the one that the farmer's like, yeah, you're going to want to check this one out. And then you blindly pick that anyway?
That, well, I mean, we'll communicate with them, be like, hey, fortunately, like this year, smoke wasn't a problem, you know, but
yeah,
which is great for everybody. But no, you know, last few years, you kind of just shoot them some texts and they're like, nope, crops are looking good. You know, nothing too like we're not getting scientific details on anything.
Okay.
Like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just more, are you stoked about this one this year? No. Yeah. You know, because they're very passionate about what they do.
Sure. Yeah. But, okay, so you think that's been kind of a game changer for you? In
100%.
Like,
yeah. No. The mosaics that we get, I already know a few other breweries in the Bay Area are trying to get the exact same mosaics.
The same ones, yeah. Farms.
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, no, but they're, I mean, like, we go, you know, we go for, you know, we like the little bit of fruitiness in it, but we're more of like the dank armpit, like super aggressive.
Okay.
You know, really, really just pungent.
Got it.
So that's kind of.
Yeah, that's funny. So I've had, you know, maybe we talked about it with you too, but Jeremy from Lagunitas has come in here and talked about his hop selection. And he's like, oh yeah, we want like the really oniony, weird ones. We want the ones they left on the vine too long.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, they just know us for that. If they have a lot that they didn't pick in time, they're like, just call Lagunitas. That's how they like them. Like brewers, you guys all have your preferences of how you like them to be.
Exactly. Oh yeah. I mean, we love a little touch of garlic, a little touch of onion in it.
No, okay.
I'm never scared of that. I mean, you know, if you open it up and it smells like, you know, a raw onion.
Yeah.
It might be. Those are still killer. Like Columbus, most of the time, is a pretty heavy onion, garlic kind of hop.
Okay.
But used in small portions. It's
sure.
Like an amplifier.
You so know, you just wouldn't do 100% beer if it was that kind of a batch.
No, because yeah. Then it would start coming off across like a cooked sweet onion kind of sweet
see.
Garlic kind of smell.
Oh, flavor. I've tasted that come out of a brewery
yeah.
before. I'm not
yeah.
going to name any names.
No.
But yeah.
What? No.
But okay.
Yeah.
So that's great, yeah, and really getting to know that this is the style that we like. You just have learned to work with those things so
yeah.
you can design your beers around that.
Exactly, and yeah. and you know, because we're not buying spot and getting a different lot of mosaic every time, you know, even if we're, because once it's in the T90 form or cryo form, it'll be slightly different than what our notes said it smelt and tastes like on the table.
Okay.
But then you can just use it a couple times and get a better understanding of how it's going to play out throughout the year.
I see.
Because then you just have one product that you have to, even if you're not super excited about it, you'll find ways to make it work.
Okay.
You know, balancing it out with something else. But
What's your largest variety purchase? It's got to be Mosaic, right?
It's up there. Citra and Mosaic are almost equal parts because in Hume, which is our flagship West
mm-hmm.
Coast,
mm-hmm.
That's 50% Citra. And we brew more of that than we do anything else.
Okay.
But I would say it would be maybe Citra's like 5% heavier than Mosaic, but they're both neck to neck.
Okay.
You know.
And where does Nelson fall in your hierarchy?
Nelson's up there. I would say Nelson, in poundage, like we do about 8,000 pounds of Citra, 8,000 pounds of Mosaic.
Wow.
This year with Nelson, we're doing 4,400 pounds.
Wow.
So.
So more than all of the island of New Zealand gets to keep, probably.
Yes.
Is going to Ghost Town.
Actually, we're excited this year. We've been able to select the last few years. And every time we've selected, it's already been like a blended lot or pellet. So this year, we had 13 samples mailed to us from NZ Hops.
Okay.
And we found a lot that, same thing. We kind of like the later harvest Nelson, you know.
Yeah.
Touch of garlic, but it gets that real diesel dankness, you know, higher alpha acid on that. So
okay,
but we found a lot that we fell in love with. We're brewing the our Him and Nelson next week.
So nice,
that's
good beer.
Yes, we love that one.
So you don't get to fly to New Zealand for hop selection?
Oh,
there.
We haven't been able to because of COVID. But right now, we're planning on going this year.
Nice.
So
I guess for harvest, is that when they do hop selection? Basically,
yeah.
Right at harvest.
Yeah.
Okay.
What date is the spring brew?
I know.
Yeah. Right.
Ryan and I will probably be gone. Evan. Yeah. And Trevor will be here to
I better start being nicer to Evan. He's gonna... It's going to be here for Spring Brews.
Trevor already volunteered, so.
Yeah, when I went, so I've been to Harvest once, and I made it back for Spring Brews. It's you guys could be stuck there. But yeah, it is, because it's the whole month of March, isn't it? So it just sort of depends on when.
Yeah, I think
and if you like late harvest, but.
I'm not yet. We're heading out on the 20th.
Okay.
We'll probably actually leave the 23rd. I think we're back on Thursday.
Got it.
So okay.
We should be back.
Justin's just using short it as trip. An excuse to not come in and brew beer. He did all his shoveling today, so he's done for the all
for the
of spring.
Year? Yeah. Oh, for all of spring? Yeah.
Put a next couple 5 years. Together and,
That's great. Now, how long have you been with Ghost Town, Trevor?
4.5 years.
Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
Yeah.
Working your way up to lead brewer, or?
Yeah. Started as a assistant to the brewer.
Assistant as they like to say. The brewer.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that even like though I was brewing office? All the beer by myself, I was the assistant to the brewer.
Is that what the... I hope you got a card that said that, too.
Almost.
Oh, there was a name card that said assistant brewer.
And it just says Dwight.
A little frustrated with. But a couple years later, there's no more assistant in anything. And,
okay, yeah.
Happy to be here.
Did you learn to brew at Ghost Town, or were you somewhere else?
I'd started homebrewing and then got my first into the industry at Fort Point as a cellar person there. Worked
okay.
there for 2 years, brewing for about 6 months of that, and then got hired by Ghost Town.
Got it. Okay. Well, it's a good spot to be.
Yeah, right. I couldn't be happier anywhere else.
Yeah.
No, and I'll give Trevor props, man. He pretty much runs the brewery.
Okay.
You know, I do a lot more of director of brewing ops now and things like that. But Trevor's in charge. He's pretty much managing our team at this point, too. So.
Nice.
Yeah, he's crushing it. So.
Make sure it's executed to Justin's vision.
Yeah. Well, it seems to be working. all right. Before we talk more about then this sort of these medals culminating in Brewery of the Year, tell me about the beer that's in our glass. Which is Huiro? Huiro?
Huiro.
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 Huiro. Huiro.
Is the Maori god of darkness.
Okay.
Oh.
Nice. Very nice.
The Nelson and Bracht experimental hops.
On the can, too. I like that. All right. So tell me about the beer. West Coast Pills?
Sure. Yeah. That's what we're calling them. Some people call them hoppy lagers, mm-hmm. you know, yada, you know, many. But something we brew a lot of. We brew a batch of this every other week, if not more now.
Oh, so really?
It's we fall in love with it because, first off, just the style, you know, it's a 5%er, drier, crisper than a pill ale, but I feel like the hops pop even more than they do in pill ales, and I can just drink a four pack.
Style that just lets the hops totally shine.
It really does. Like I love how just hops and lager yeast play together.
Okay.
But anyway, so we're brewing them left and right.
It must be popular for you if it's
they're working out. Yeah. We're doing, you know, 30 barrel batches every other week. But I do also find they do so well with New Zealand hops. You know, obviously Mosaic, Citra, Fruities, but anyway, yeah, on that. So we're part of the Bracht program through NZ Hops.
Okay.
And I think Humble C is the only other brewery in the Bay Area that's part of it. You know, they have 20 breweries total throughout the country.
Okay.
And they did 5 experimental hops this year. It's just NZH01 through 05.
Okay.
So this is the 02. This will probably be the only one we get a brew with this year just because our schedule is already pretty demanding. But they didn't give us too many notes on it, unfortunately. So we just kind of had to open up the bags and sniff them. Mm-hmm. And when we opened it up, you know, we were getting a lot of tangerine, orange. You were calling it Sunny.
I thought it smelled like Sunny D.
Sunny D.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of fake orange.
Yeah, it was very, very, very citrus heavy. A lot of orange, you know, a little zest kind of. But. Mm-hmm. It smelled great. I think it came out amazing in this beer. I think it plays very well with the Nelson.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I agree. I think it's like it's Nelson dominant. It's probably like a 60-40 ratio Nelson to the Bracht hop.
Okay.
But it totally like fruited up our Nelson. It gave it this even more perceived body because these things finish out at 1. They're super dry, but it has this just nice body for being 5%, you know.
So you don't have to be part of that program. You don't you're not some contract that you have to try all 5 or whatever they put out. It's just, hey, here's some. If you guys want to use them, you should.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we signed an NDA, but they never gave us any information to share. So
yeah, not talking about it. Yeah,
But it was just kind of like, because we contracted a good amount of hops through them.
Yeah,
and like their Nelson, it was one of the main hops in Nose Goblin too. You know, okay. So yeah, they just brought us in with that, and
yeah,
I'm down to try any new IPA-ish hop,
sure,
whenever we can.
Especially with that, with some citrus in there, that's a great. It's like just people just love it.
Yeah,
I'm really glad actually that you said, like Sunny D. Not just so I do get it a little bit in this beer, but actually because of a beer I just had recently, Grains of Virtue. We had a beer from them. Great name, called Hannibal Nectar. Cool logo too. It's got like the mask on some weird alien, the Hannibal Lecter mask. But anyhow, I'd never tasted citrus quite like this. And I couldn't really put my finger on it other than to say, wow, that's just like really nectary and really citrusy. But it almost had like a fake...
slightly artificial almost.
Yeah, which by the way was not bad. I love this beer. I bought a 4-pack of it from myself here. But it was just something, yeah, slightly artificial about it that I couldn't put my finger on it, but that I really liked. It was a great flavor. Because it didn't make it too sweet or anything like drinking Sunny D would be like to me now. That's too sweet. But... yeah, just like that tinge of a bit, because it was like so citrusy and nectary that it just felt like it had to be fake.
Something was
that's
wrong.
What I right, like it just felt like it had to be fake, but it was really a great component.
Was Chris putting juice in there? Or what's he doing over there?
A little bit of tang.
It might have actually been. I don't know. I'm not going to get them on the show to find out. Yeah. But it was fantastic.
Oh, good.
So,
awesome.
Yeah. What a good character.
Their beers are really starting to taste, they're tasting really good. Yeah, mm-hmm. We've been enjoying them. Awesome people, too.
This one's great. And yeah, the Nelson just really comes through.
Oh, yeah.
Got a little diesel.
Yep.
But then, yeah, some kind of little orange just to it.
Little citrus kind of undertones that really, I think,
makes it more drinkable. I also think you're right that it adds body.
It to me, it's like, because some of these. I mean, I always kind of liked body, but like I said, this is just a Pilsner base. There's nothing in there, you know. Or, excuse me, there's like 2% Carafoam, but
okay,
nothing too crazy. And we finish out super dry. We mash low of these, you know.
I think it gives it a fuller kind of flavor profile. So it gives like the flavors as they wash over your tongue. That's where that perceived body kind of comes from, because you're parsing through so much more than just the white grape and diesel that the Nelson gives you.
Sure. It
gives you a lot more kind of going on in there to pick through as you're drinking it.
Yeah, which I think like a good hoppy pills or West Coast lager like just kind of has to have a little something else going on. Otherwise, they just come out as a little just bitter to me. Mm-hmm. They'll be like a pills that are overly bitter with a little bit of dank, right? So it's nice when there's just multiple things going on in there. Yep. Yeah. All right. So then before we got to go to a break, I just kind of want to wrap up like the kind of feeling of ending up getting Brewery of the Year. I mean, do you start to think after your second gold medal, haven't even gotten the third medal, the silver there yet, or however it went in order, do you start to think like, oh shit, I think I've done the math right, we might win one of these brewery awards?
It wasn't even a consideration.
Really?
I mean, just to set the stage a little bit, we had like so much alcohol and like the hottest chicken the night before, so we were like just dying, like we were in the theater
and we sweating
could, like, we could barely sit down, like we were, it was terrible.
Oh gosh. Yeah,
you know, and then we're in a good section, everyone around us is winning, it's really great. And then we won silver for a Cave Dweller, and there's, you know, it's always that little bit of like relief.
Yeah,
I got the monkey off my back,
so now at least you've won.
Yeah, so we, you know, we go down there, we get in line, we do the thing. It is awesome, high fiving people, it's celebrating. You know,
yeah,
you're walking home with something, so it's beautiful. And then, they called us for a Mordant for the American Strong Pale.
Mm-hmm.
So we were just pumped because, you know, that it's an awesome beer. We got a gold for it,
big
so
category,
mm-hmm. Awesome. So we're down there in line waiting to get that medal, and then Nose Goblin hit for gold while we were down there.
Yeah.
And we like we were just so pumped, like we were like, yeah! You know, just like just, you know, high-fiving people.
Yeah.
It didn't even occur to me that anything else could possibly happen that would be good.
Right.
And I was like, this is the best day of my life. Anyway, and then we're sitting down there, and then they like, you know, there was like kind of like a big bouncer kind of dude.
Yeah.
And he was like pulled up, and I was like, you know, because we're all excited, and I was like, oh, I guess I'm too excited, like, you know, someone's on stage, you can't go up there,
right? Yeah.
And then they cleared out, and I was like, hey, you know, and he's like, you know, hold up. And I was like, why? Like,
yeah, yeah.
And then I heard the announcement, like, we're going to announce the brewery of the year. And I was like, oh, my God.
So he was doing you a favor here.
Well, they like to time it up, obviously, because we're down there. And then my stomach just, like, turned into garbage. I thought I was going to die on stage. I was like, oh, no, oh, no, 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 no. And I was like, ah. Oh. But anyway, it was awesome and amazing.
You know the asshole in me, especially because I'm doing the video work. I so wish you threw up on stage. It would have been just great for me.
It wouldn't have been throw up, so just be thankful.
Okay. Yeah, hot chicken revenge.
I mean, fair enough. Hot chicken.
That's totally fair.
So maybe Ryan shouldn't go to Nashville, actually.
Hey, I learned my lesson. Oh, man. Yeah.
I mean, it just, you had to just be elated then. If it was such a surprise to Dungeon, I mean, there's a lot of breweries in that.
Well, it's funny, yeah, like a couple of people we were with, like one of our brewers, Austin, was with us, obviously, and some people were texting him, like, the metal count numbers. Hey, I don't know, guys, you guys might call, you know, but he wasn't really paying attention to it until we got on stage. He looked at it, he was like, oh, I guess people were kind of watching it for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, we were so elated, so humbled. Great. It was amazing. We couldn't have had a better day. And then just after the ceremony, just talking to everyone, all of our friends.
Oh, sure.
It was just like
people stoked for you.
Top of the world. It was. It feels like you think it would.
Yeah, so. That's great. Well, it's the top. So getting a gold medal, getting one gold medal is just a massive achievement.
Any medal.
Yeah, massive achievement, and then a top honor. But then to get 3 medals and a Brewery of the Year award. Out of how many breweries must have entered that competition? A couple thousand. So that's the other thing we should clarify. So you guys won the way they do the categories now. I don't even know if they call them by size anymore, but it's 5,001 barrels to 15,000 barrels, which isn't even small brewery. It's like mid-size, I think. At least that's what it used to be called.
Third, because I think it was like
there's one larger, which is 15,000 and up.
Ah, yeah. So you're like large, below super large, or whatever the hell the next one
anything
is.
Anything 15 to a billion barrels.
It's a big old, yeah. Okay,
yeah, that, yeah.
Wow. So that's so awesome. That's just
crazy.
Amazing.
Part of me still doesn't believe it, but you know, you're still like,
still don't feel like I'm brewery of the year.
Well, because you don't feel different per se, right?
No,
but
not at all.
That is, I mean, the top of your game. You know, you just won an Oscar, basically. Yeah, several Oscars.
Yeah.
Wow. That's just cool.
I mean, it's been a lot of hard work for a long time.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's pretty cool to.
Yeah.
Yeah, just.
There's 3 Oscars and a lifetime achievement.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was. The only reason I didn't want to say that is that I don't want it to be over, right? You got more years coming. So, and I'll say this to you: it has been a long time and a lot of work. I have tasted your beer, Justin, from multiple breweries. Yep. Known you long enough to have tasted your beer for a while, and you are, in my experience, at the top of your game. I hope your game keeps getting better. Don't get me wrong, but in the time of all the beers I've had from you, you are just firing on all cylinders. You and your team, forgive
me. It's because he has
you
Trevor.
You guys are, yeah. But I haven't tasted your beer before other than Ghost Town. So at least I can say I've seen the progression.
I like to say there's a little bit of me in every beer that you taste from Ghost Town.
There you go. Wow. Yeah.
And now it's time for a break.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, it is almost time for a break, but thank I do want to say, I don't know if I've seen you or told you this, but I did get to participate in your win more than just streaming the awards and the camera work. I got multiple texts congratulating me for my achievement. While I'm sitting back there, the show's not over. I'm still doing things. My phone starts buzzing. I think I got 4, like, congratulations, Justin. You so well deserved. And I was like, wow, this streaming must be going really well this year. Before I realized that a lot of brewers have at least 2 Justins in their fucking phone. And I'm like, oh, they're texting Justin Burt, and they just don't know it.
Well, we'll have to tell us who that was so we can take them off the list. So,
well, and a couple of them I answered, but I was also busy, so a couple of them I didn't. And when I finally told, like, one of them was Matt Sager from Danville over here. But when I finally saw him, like, a week later, he was like, oh, I was really kind of pissed that Justin didn't text me back anything. And I was like, yeah, no, that was me. I didn't text you back anything. I was like, I probably could have taken the time to let you know you did it wrong, but I was busy.
I can see this.
Well, yeah. No, this is good to know. Cause...
And then he was just embarrassed, right? But at first he was like, oh, yeah, I was really kind of, I thought maybe I did something wrong.
Well, like, you know, I'll mark that off because he was the only person on my list that I was getting upset at.
Didn't say congratulations.
Like, damn you, Sager.
No, I'm pretty sure he was the first one. He was very proud of you. He might have done it within minutes. So, yeah, if you got mad at him, you have to go take it back.
No, no.
He was in front of me where we were sitting.
So. There you go. Yeah. Danville also, we can give them a shout out. They also won a medal.
Yes.
I forget which beer.
It was Robbie's, the... It's like an English
summer ale?
No, not the summer ale.
Was it like a rye beer or something? No, it wasn't rye.
Shit.
It was a weird style. Not weird, but it was one of those. Yeah. Is it a Maybach?
Was it a Maybach?
Might have been their Maybach. He does make a damn good Maybach, even if it wasn't that one.
It was like Granny something. Yeah, it was a beer that him and Robbie Proctor collaborated on.
Okay.
I think it was Robbie's recipe originally, but
got it.
Matt executed it.
Okay. So. I also read that of the, I think there's 200 medals given out, something like that. Might be a little more. 72 of them were in the state of California.
Yeah.
Yeah. The only one that came close, and I don't think it was all that close, the second runner-up was Colorado. Another great state, yep. Brewing good beer. But yeah, California really, really killed it. Bartlett Hall over there in San Francisco, little tiny place. They won the porter category.
Yeah, robust porter.
Robust porter. Oh, yeah? Nick. Oh, from here? Yeah. I was like, really? Nick? I thought you meant Ghost Town. Yeah, Nick, just a great brewer over there. And, well, several others. I'll get in trouble if I start listing them all off. I'll forget one or something. But
don't do that.
It was a good year for West Coast. So then the last thing I want to ask you is, and we don't have to talk too much about it, but I used to think that the medal you get at GABF or World Beer Cup, that like, you know, it looks cool on the wall and people are really happy for you. I know that. But I didn't really think it would like translate to sales. But recently I've talked to brewers and brewery owners, and they're like, oh, no, if getting one of those can really sort of change your trajectory. Have you found that to be the case with the last couple years of winning medals?
Yeah. So, I mean, like for a long time, we only, you know, kind of guessed what the impact of a medal would be.
Hmm.
We were like, whatever, probably just a little.
Yeah,
a little bit of sales bump here, and that's definitely true, right? So
okay,
it stirs interest nationally for your beer, but you know, like the lasting effects, we always assumed it would have been like a couple months.
Yeah,
you know, like oh, because the sad part about GABF is that none of the beers that win are available.
Right,
right, because they've been long gone because we have to enter them like a month or two before.
Yeah, yeah, of course. And people come, they're like, oh, we want to try your winning beer.
Of course. And we're like, here's a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah.
But, you know, and while there is like a sales bump, I would say, from getting medals, it's really more like the ability to talk to other brewers, people in the industry. Like, we become more known in that capacity.
That makes sense.
And that's opened up a lot more doors for us to make really cool collabs and make a bunch of new friends and, you know, more opportunities than we had before.
Because, sure.
You know, you're nobody until you're
right.
Technically somebody, right?
Yeah.
And, not that we're somebody, but, well, I guess maybe a little bit now. But, you know, well, I mean, like after last year, we got, you know, we won a category that we really coveted, double IPA gold in 2021.
Yeah.
We were pumped, and, you know, we were so excited about it. And we talked to so many people from that. And now this year with, you know, Brewery of the Year and back-to-back golds, other gold. I mean, we're just excited about all the new people we're going to meet. So
sure.
Well, there is a sales bump, and then people do kind of, well, now for the two gold medals, that one beer has a little bit more of a target on it than it ever did before.
Yeah.
As far as people's interest in it, like I get emails constantly about it.
Well, that's interesting.
That's why we're going to, you know, produce it a little more than we did.
Yeah.
It is a great beer, you know, but.
And it's the style. See, that's cool, too, because, like, yeah, winning a gold in, like, the wit beer category, you guys will be all excited about that. But like all your customers aren't going to call you begging for more wit beer. But winning in the hoppy category, they're like, yeah, you're going to make that again, right?
Well, and again, like we thought that that was kind of the case too, but we took silver for our robust porter at the World Beer Cup earlier this year or last year.
Yeah.
And the interest in robust porter was a lot better.
Oh, that's interesting. You
know? And like that was a category that we were like, we really liked the porter. And we saw a lot of it at our bar and, you know, tap room and stuff. But generally, people are more interested in it because it's so. It does definitely impact it. Well, the best part was like all of our brewer friends were like, "We know you guys make great West Coast, but what's up with this porter?"
Yeah. Right. Like, yeah.
You gotta try it, buddy. You don't need
it. Right. Right. Right.
But it does impact you know, sales and stuff like that, and that's great.
Sure.
For someone like Evan here.
At least, and having something else to promote. But I can see what you mean. It's more, it's a lot of street cred. It's validation for people who already loved your beer. Now they get another reason to be like, okay, so it wasn't just me.
I knew it. No, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been great. It helps us, you know, talk to people that, you know, may or may not have had time for you before in the past or whatever. And a lot of other breweries reach out to us, too.
Just right.
To talk about beer and process. And
sure.
And we love talking to them and brewing collabs with people. So it works out. It's been great.
I think this kind of like target on your back concept is interesting, though. Like, do you think that brewers... So, for example, I'll call Wynn out on this right now. I know for a fact that Wynn...
Who's Wynn?
Like, went to every Bistro IPA fest since he's like 12 years old or something. I don't know how he did it. But and then tasted every winner ever and like designed his beer to win the Bistro IPA Fest. He might play that down a little bit, but I'm sure that's how it went down.
Well, you know, he changed his name to Wynn right after. That wasn't his real name.
Yeah, he did that, yeah. He took first place in triple.
Yeah.
Well, his real name's Chester.
So my thought here is, if you guys won it 2 years in a row, and I'm a brewery who wants that category, I'm buying a fuckload of Nose Goblin this year. And trying to figure you out, right?
Yeah. Well, that would be an honor.
No problem.
Yeah. And are you're not like just handing out the recipe to everybody, are you?
I got in trouble for that. I did. No.
It's available for sale at More Beer.
That's true. It's pretty much there. Yeah.
What's like Jamil used to always say in the show? You know, recipe is one thing. Like, we'll share recipes left and right. You know, but
still got to nail it.
Yep. Yeah. My process is.
Well, Trevor does anyway.
Well. Okay, enough talking about Trevor. He should have been shoveling grain today.
Right.
No, but again, yeah, it's like you can even like recite your processes to somebody and they'll miss one little thing that was a very important detail.
You're right.
And you're not going to get the hops I have, right? You know, like my mosaics are different than yours.
Everyone's kettle boils a little differently. You know, there's so many little things.
Sure.
Yeah,
do you think that Nose Goblin is the beer you enter this year?
Oh yeah.
You don't try for another double IPA. You try to write.
Are you talking Bistro or we're talking GABF? Oh
yes.
GABF.
All of it. Mostly I'm talking GABF though. Do you, you go for the three-peat, right?
Fuck yes we do.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. We're going back for it.
Because you can't enter more than one in a category, right?
I believe you actually can. We never have. Okay. But I think you can, correct me if I'm wrong, because Ryan takes care of all the entries. I think you can.
I think. Oh, you know what I think it is? Maybe you can. I think it's that you can't enter one beer in multiple categories.
That's accurate, yeah. You can't enter the same beer in multiple categories.
Yes.
Okay.
But I think you could, if I wanted to enter multiple...
Like 10 West Coast
orders, I believe.
You can.
Yeah.
You're going to enter five. Because
if you get the... Because my suggest... Now, if you get the three-peat, and I'm saying if, because I'm not jinxing you. Just a big old if.
Well, now we know if we don't get it.
Then the year after... You have to get multiple in the same cat. You gotta enter more than one double IPA. You just retire at
Evan, no more competitions.
I'm sure they're gonna kick us out of the category.
Has anyone ever three-peated any category? I don't believe so.
I didn't even know if anyone had ever two-peated a hoppy category is what I would suggest. Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense.
Hey, another Bay Area brewery though.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, that'd be a good record to beat right there. To beat out Russian River for a three-peat? Wow. This is exciting.
Vinny's going to retract that congratulations.
Yeah, he wasn't one of the ones who texted me, so at least he knows your name, Justin. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Ghost Town actually has a new brew house that I haven't gotten to talk to you about since you've been on the show last. And I've heard some amusing stories about you guys putting that brew house in while keeping your old one functional, and I want to learn about your misery.
Oh, yes.
So hang in there. It's The Session. You're listening to Ghost Town, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are still with my friends from Ghost Town, drinking some very tasty beer, and we've got more to taste, as a matter of fact. Right now, in our glass, I went and got us the Verlust. This is a good time to talk about beer names with these fellas. I was saying before the show that, like, so we go through a lot of Ghost Town beer here, our favorite breweries. A lot of cans. That's where we get most of the variety. We'll have one to two on tap, but always through, you know, several cans. And I stopped looking up the names a while ago. I just know that they're very, you know, I look at them like, that's a cool name. I'm sure it's like something, somebody got killed or it's morbid or some ghost. Because I know you guys and you do a good job of it. But for today's show, I did look up a name. We don't have the beer anymore, unfortunately. We kicked the keg today before the show. But it was Scaphism. And I was like, all right, I have to know what Scaphism is, though, right? So, Ryan, you want to tell us what Scaphism is?
Sure. It's a medieval Persian torture method where somebody would be covered with milk and honey and then trapped between two boats and then let the vermin and insects kill them.
Yeah. Capital punishment, even. Not just torture, but like, eat them till they're dead.
Yeah, that, I mean, that falls under the torture category for me, for sure.
Right, right, yeah.
Because that probably took a while.
And that person probably never wanted a beer more than that one of those moments when they're under those boats.
That time. And I was telling you guys before the show, like, the two things I thought of when I looked up that definition was, like, first I was like, oh, yeah, that sounds like a ghost town beer. And the second one was like, God, what was wrong with people? Because, you know, the death penalty is kind of enough. We had to do that first. That's crazy. Where did you find that name or any of these names, Ryan? What do you spend your time doing?
Well, this name in particular actually was not found by me.
But okay.
Do, I believe one of our sales reps suggested it. And we have a company Slack channel where people can find interesting and weird things and they put in there. And sometimes we'll make beers with them. Sometimes we won't. Sometimes people just find like cool looking, gross artwork.
Yeah.
You know, and we'll...
But you do have cool stuff with that, too.
Bastardize that, maybe come up with a name for it. So it comes from all different directions, all different inspiration levels. But this one had been sitting there for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I've been pitching for it for years.
You have?
Years. Finally.
You found it, and you were like, oh, this one has to go.
Well, sometimes sometimes I will I'll get a name like that, and I looked it up when you suggested it, Evan. And... You know, I was like, how the hell am I going to make art for this?
Right. Yeah.
Very terrible, atrocious. Act.
Yeah.
You know, and I couldn't think of anything, so that we just kind of backburnered it for a really long time.
Okay.
Until I was like, okay, I got something I can do with this to make it look kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Which was what? What did you end up with on the label?
So, rather than trying to get too graphic with it,
sure.
We just went with kind of like the, like a bunch of rats on the label with flies, so a little bit of the insects and the rodents that would have enjoyed the honey and milk,
but not like actually eating a body.
Nope, they're just covering the whole label to just, I don't know, to insinuate the feeding frenzy that would have occurred probably.
Yeah, yeah.
So underneath the label would have been, you know, the person or the beer in this particular case that's being devoured.
So let me ask you this. Is from the label perspective and how like grotesque you either want to be or don't want to be, is it a consumer decision that you're making, or is like the TTB, would they even get involved? I know that like sexual activity on labels, the TTB would get involved. Drug activity on labels, the TTB would get involved. But like horror, would they get involved?
Well, the first thing with the TTB is like, where is the beer going?
Okay.
So if it's not leaving the state of California, we don't actually need to submit COLA approval for them.
Oh, I thought it was if it wasn't leaving your brewery, but you're saying for really for the whole state.
Yeah, so if it's interstate, we don't require that approval.
Yeah, okay.
Just because it's not technically a federal entity at that point.
You know, okay.
There's ABC entities and stuff like that for our state.
I see, okay.
But we do send beers out of state, and when we do, we submit them for approval. The thing that they're most interested in, obviously, is like you can't make it sound like medication. You can't, there's certain things that where you mislead somebody.
Okay.
But if it's just gross.
So if you wanted to, you could go full Judas Priest on these labels. Like,
oh, absolutely.
Nobody
yeah.
would care.
I mean, like.
Well, nobody from the government would care.
The reviewer might think that you're stupid or maybe
right.
have poor taste, but I don't think there's a rule against being gross.
Okay. So it's more a brand decision for you guys where, because I wouldn't call you guys, I don't think you're gross. I don't think you're, even that name, I don't, gross is not a word I think of with Ghost Town. Actually, creative is one of them. And you guys, you're kind of my style too. I like some morbidity. I think I would throw, I wouldn't call you morbid, but there's some morbidity in there, right?
Sure.
I mean, it's all part of the theme.
Yeah, it's macabre. It's,
it's our
aesthetic.
Yeah.
There's a lot of really great beers in cans across bars and restaurants and grocery stores everywhere.
Yeah,
it's about I just want someone to walk by and see it and be like, what is that?
Yeah.
If I can get you to pick it up,
you're in good shape.
I can probably get you to buy it. So,
that's true. Yeah, yeah.
So that's why we want to we want something that's going to catch your eye.
Yeah,
and particularly for people who lean a little more morbid.
Yeah,
we hope that you're like, ooh,
yeah, yeah.
What's this tasty treat? Oh, it's from Ghost Town.
And that's how I like those decisions too, because I draw the line with my morbid fascinations at grotesque. I'm kind of not into gross shit.
Sure.
And so I'm never worried about that with yours. They're always just kind of cool and horror,
Yeah, 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 yeah. It's not, I'm not trying to gross people out of, but I mean, the name obviously for
it can, sure.
Gross. If you knew what it meant, you'd be like, oh, that's gross. But I'm not going to actually put anything too gross on the label.
Sure. It's also, though, even the name, like it did it with me instantly, it's also thought-provoking.
Yeah.
You're like, humans did this to each other at one point. So to me, even that's not gross. I'm just like, I'm kind of glad I know about this. It's fucked up. It's just weird.
Yeah, and unfortunately, there's just a never-ending supply of names of things that humans did to other humans, so...
So that's the next thing I was going to ask you about. Every brewer who comes in here talks about the difficulty in finding names. And at first when I thought about you guys, I was like, well, they're going to run out of stuff. How can they stick with it? How long can this theme go on? But then I thought, maybe forever. There's got to be a ton of stuff.
There are thousands of years of just your unadulterated, just awfulness that
right.
occurred through all time.
We've had we've had far less years of what we call civilization than not. So you've got tons of time and words.
Absolutely.
How long would you say your backlog of supplied, names is now? You must have plenty even in the back burner.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably, a good 60 or 70 that are just kind of always in the list.
Yeah,
I'll just
kind
of add to it if I'll hear a brutal metal song and I'll be like, oh, that's a cool word or it's a cool phrase. So that can go on the list. Or
nice.
Yeah, or somebody will bring up something terrible that happened at some point in time and I'll be like, what was that called? And then they'll be like, why? And I was like, don't worry about it. No.
Yeah, exactly.
On the list. But again, sometimes it's just like, I'll just come across like some medieval crazy artwork that's just brutal and I'll be like, I don't have a name for this, but...
I got to
use
it.
I'll figure something out.
Right.
So, it comes from all directions.
Okay. Yeah. So, from a retail perspective, the only, and the guy who sometimes is stocking the shelves, the only crazy beer labels, and yours, I think, are some of them. There's another brewery, too. I think it's there, does not exist. When
there's
two beers
cool
come out that are too similar in label, because you guys don't put a lot of words on all your labels, right?
No.
And it's when it gets down to that I'm like, fuck, I don't know which one to ring up. Did I get the right one or not? It's the only time I'm mad at you and your labels.
Theirs are
the rest of the time I love them. What's that?
All of theirs are black and white.
Yeah, theirs are super difficult. I'm going to sit them down and have a long conversation.
Which also lets you know that
Max.
It's them.
We'll talk about it.
They're coming to Spring Brews Festival, too. I know those folks. They're awesome. I only yell at the people I like.
I mean, even though it's kind of a Labrador black and white, I know that it's them when I look at that.
So that's true. I know the brewing
exactly what they want.
They are. But then, like, this is just stupid internal stuff. Like, our inventory is off because I sell the wrong one 5 times. And Kev has to come talk to me. I'm his fucking boss, and he has to be like, Justin, you're ringing up the wrong things again. Anyway, yeah. But yours, it's rare that you guys do that with it. There's usually enough writing that I'm like, okay, I can find this beer. And you do all of the art, right, Ryan?
Yeah. I do all the graphic design for it.
Okay.
Some of the art is found. Some of it is, we'll hire an illustrator to do a very specific thing.
Yeah.
But I kind of, I more orchestrate it.
Okay.
Get it to the printer and get it on the can.
Well, you guys definitely, and I'm sure we talked about this last time, you have achieved like a real brand identity. And so then to back it up with a bunch of medal-winning beer, that's like the magic combination right now. Among all of the competition with breweries, right? Because you guys are growing while others are even shrinking. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, during the pandemic, we didn't know really what to expect, but we had tremendous growth. We also were fortunate enough to have our own canning line.
Sure.
And we were able to kind of pivot our business model drastically and open up a lot of retail accounts during that time, which we since have held on to.
Right.
Even after bars and that stuff came back. So, but yeah, it's been breakneck, nonstop growth.
That's great.
Hence why we had to upgrade to a new brewing system.
So we're going to talk about that and your new location, but let's talk about this just beer real quick. And we'll start with the name because I want to know what it, so this is Verlust in our glass, which is your Schwarzbier?
Schwarzbier.
This is Schwarzbier. Yeah. What does Verlust mean? You got to look this one up. Yeah,
this beer we actually released a long time ago.
Okay.
Let's look this one up. We brew it, I think, like annually, would you say, Justin?
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to brew it. Once we get our lager tanks in, we'll do it a few more times.
So, I love a good Schwarzbier.
So Verlust is essentially just another way to say loss.
Okay.
So this is more of like a sad beer. And on the label, there's like a really sad looking woman in like a boat.
Okay.
Lost at sea.
So this one we have on tap. So I don't think I've seen the label.
It's actually a really cool label.
It sounds great.
With some found old wood etching, I think from the 17th century.
Okay.
And it just looked kind of sad to us. And I believe. One of my co-founders, Sam, I think he came up with the name Verlust for this piece of artwork. And again, 4 years ago?
Yeah, no. That's okay. Because we did a fooder version of it. Then we did one that we lagered in oak barrels that we just transferred stout out of. Bourbon barrels. But it was, second gen. No, we've done some different versions of it for sure.
Okay.
But yeah, I think this is...
This is a great beer.
Oh, sweet.
I love a good Schwartz beer. And I think now that lagers are just kind of happening, I'm getting more of them. Oakland United has a good one that I had recently. Of course, Death and Taxes is like my...
Yes.
That's the gold standard right there,
never
right?
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
California gold standard right there.
Yeah. This is a great beer. Okay. So you guys are growing. You opened a second location, a beer garden, basically. What's that, like a year ago?
It was March of 2021, so we're about 2 years in March.
Going on 2 years, okay. I've been there a couple times now. I didn't go for a long time, but now I've been twice in the last 6 months or something. I got really mad at you, Ryan, because you found the coolest sign in the Bay Area. Like, whenever you pick this place, you guys have that, like, Art Deco rotating, kind of like a drive-in sign that said, I think it came with the property, right?
That's right. So it's actually the original sign from when the original place was constructed. It was like an old hamburger diner spot back in the day. And then when 4505 took over the space and kind of revitalized... the whole property, put in like the outdoor seating. The Laurel District, that's the area the tap room's in.
Okay, in Oakland,
had them revitalize that sign and kind of bring it back to life.
Yeah.
So we were the beneficiaries of a really cool, totally fixed sign.
And you didn't have to revitalize it.
And I didn't have, but I mean, I did have to pay someone to obviously change it a little bit.
Sure. Yeah.
Which was like a super pain in the ass, but like.
Yeah. First I drove up, I was so jealous. I was like, fuck, that's a cool sign. It's just so, and it fits the area. I'm glad that the district said this kind of has to stay. Yeah. Right? I'm sure you are too.
Oh yeah, it's a super awesome sign. Every time I go there, I'm just like, I always like look at it. This is so cool.
It's dope.
It's really neat. And, it kind of fits It does fit the area. It's kind of nostalgic, so it's red.
Yeah. Well, if you're coming to Oakland and you haven't been to either Ghost Town and you search Ghost Town and you can't figure out which one is which, the Google images with the awesome, amazing rotating sign as the new beer garden in the Laurel District of Oakland. And the other location is the OG Brewery, yeah, which is also awesome. I love your...
In
West Oakland. It's warehouse style. You can play cornhole indoors, like a big old tasting room. So they're both awesome. So you expanded to that. Mm-hmm. But you also then had to expand the brewery. You were selling more beer than you could make, I assume.
Yeah, these boys were shredding on that system we had every day, basically.
What was that, a 15 barrel?
Two vessel 15.
Okay. And you now have a 30?
Yeah, we have a four vessel 30.
Okay.
So
again, you had this kind of big space, smart move on your part, something you could grow into. But when I heard you built the new brewery like concurrent with the old brewery, I didn't think you had that much space. I still don't think you do. What I'm getting at is that sounds like an impossible project that you guys somehow did, right?
It was we ran into a couple small little issues with the new brew house. Our gas wasn't up to par, so we weren't able to fire up a few things right off the back. So we had to recommission our old brew house. But our new brew house had taken the place of our old brew house. So we had to kind of find a place to Frankenstein it in.
It the Frankenbrew.
The Frankenbrew, basically.
Wait. So let me make sure. So you did move the old brew house out, or at least over?
Yeah, we moved it over to our packaging area.
Disassembled it.
Oh, shit!
Fully disassembled.
And put in the new one.
Yeah.
And then found out it didn't work.
Yes.
Oh! Yeah. Okay, I didn't know that part of the story.
Yeah. And the wound.
Yeah, the wound. I see.
Yeah.
Okay, and then... Then moved the old one back in?
So we brought the old one back in.
Okay.
We kind of had a like, because, and the old one was just, everything was hard piped, right? You know, it was a mash ladder to a boil whirlpool, and then we had our HLT hard pipe, right, and everything. So we were able to just kind of keep our two vessel brew house right where it is, and then we had to put our HLT in like 50 feet away, the back of the house. So
okay.
We had that all soft piped. But then the cool thing is with the new brew house already being there, we're like, well, we have a whirlpool vessel that we can utilize.
I see.
So we were able to speed up our days a little bit, at least, you know, by, as opposed to trying to whirlpool and everything just in one vessel, we can transfer it off. I was able to knock off 2 hours a day. But yeah, just trying to juggle water around, move things around, and
yeah,
might have been the most expensive whirlpool probably
ever
in the United States.
Yes. Right. So then the gas problem on the new one is like a municipal gas problem, like you have to call PG&E to come give you a bigger pipe.
Yes,
sort of thing. I'm dumbing it down.
Yeah,
but.
Ryan, Evan.
That's exactly right. So the one we had going in had the correct pressure. But it didn't have the right CFM, the right flow, right?
Okay.
So the new system obviously used a lot more gas than our smaller system, which was direct fire. So we turned it on, and it just sucked all the gas right out of the line.
Wow.
So, you know, we did check the specs, but it didn't end up working. So the
specs you looked at was what pressure it wanted.
Correct.
Or something. So, oh, God. And did you call PG&E like before you bought the brew house or anything? You had to find out what your pressure was.
Well, we already knew what the pressure was just from different, you know, when we set up the brewery originally.
Okay.
So we had plenty, but we've known that we had an undersized gas line for quite a long time. Like we have, you know, heaters in our tap room and stuff like that. And running all at the same time would prove to be problematic. So what, by happenstance, like a year before the brew house arrived, I had already started an application with PG&E to get a line size, because I knew we wanted to put more, you know, have the heaters run the tap room when it's cold during the winter.
Yeah.
So we had already started the process to get the new line.
And it's a long process. I know that.
It was like 2 years.
Yeah.
But we were already halfway through. So,
okay.
I mean, now it sounds funny, and it was like, well, let's just do another year. But, you know, like basically then we had more urgency with the line. Like,
yeah.
Hey, we really want to get this installed.
Did they expedite that process for you at all?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, okay. So.
Absolutely not. No. No, we went through its normal process.
Yeah.
Like, they don't like beer. I don't know what their deal was, but they didn't care. So
right. I've heard that before, actually, with other startup breweries where, they're like, I don't know, I'm on some wait list and they don't give a shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, it wasn't like they weren't responsive. It's just there's a lot of protocols in place. There's a lot of city stuff. There's PG&E stuff. There's excavation and, then some other company installs everything. Anyway, and then there's, like, covering it and whatever. So it just took a really long time. Mm-hmm. But it is done.
It's done. She's ripping.
Jeez.
I'm going to try to ask about some of the old wounds without opening up a whole can of worms. Mm. So,
good luck.
Well, I know that this one's going to suck to answer, but it's behind you, so I'm hoping it's okay. But, like, you go through all this work, you get it built, you've got your shiny new brew house, you're ready to, you know, you probably added on some things that are going to make your life easier throughout the day. It's what you do when you buy a new brew house, and here comes the day to fire it up. Like, you're ready to go. Firing it up's like the last thing you do, right?
Yep.
You're done with everything.
Yep.
So you're all excited? Bottle of champagne, maybe, or like a sour beer that you've held on, like, just ready to celebrate.
Bottle tequila.
And it just goes...
Yep.
And that's that. That's for that.
I mean, yeah. It was like 2 days of having the boiler company out there trying to figure stuff out.
But. Okay, because you didn't immediately know then that the pipe was wrong, the gas pipe.
No, we didn't know until
we tried to.
They
turn
told
it on.
Us, and they were like, "There's a problem."
There is.
And I was like, "But it's solvable, right?"
They're like,
"No."
So that's when the real heartbreak hits. It's not even that first moment that doesn't fire up.
Well, and then there's like the week or so that follows of like, what can we do? Who do we know? Like, we don't know anybody. There's nothing we can do. So But there's that little glimmer of hope.
Yeah.
For like a few days after.
Oh, I do that too. Oh, yeah. I'm like, we can solve this. This is going to be a solution.
There's a solution.
Yeah.
Like, call a congressperson. You know, like,
yeah.
All that stupid stuff goes through your mind. You're like, nope. You just got to wait.
You're just fucked. Yeah.
So during that whole process, I was on vacation.
Okay. it's your fault.
Day before I flew back into Oakland, and I got a text from our other brewer, and it was a picture of him with the old brew house. Back, in the brewing side. And he said, hey, guess what I'm doing today? It's like, it's still vacation. I'm not getting back to you.
Not
right
even,
I'm
going
to deal with this tomorrow.
Yeah. But even that little piece of information says to me you guys got the old brew house back online pretty quick.
Oh, yeah. Taking it apart. It's just memory at that point.
Right.
Not
okay.
that I put it back together. I was there. It might have been
okay. But then
we had it back together lickety-split after we... the sadness subsided and we realized that we actually just have to make beer again.
Right.
Even though it's on the old... I mean, like, in a normal world where it was like, if you knew it was coming and it wasn't there, it probably would have been fine.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
The fact that it was there and you just have to look at it every day, that the new shiny thing, and
every
it's
brew
sitting
hurt.
There and you're like, look at it, and you're like, I can't use it. And you're
every 6 a.m. morning mashing in on the old one, that's just staring at you and you're like, I shouldn't be here.
It's like the Ferrari in your garage. But you got to drive the Escort. Yeah. So you're still on the Ford Escort.
It's a great brew house.
I was going to say, that's a dependable car.
It's a great
brew
house.
It is a dependable car.
It's more like a Camry or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Good old. Okay. That makes sense. It's probably more accurate.
All the medals we won were on that brew house.
Is that right?
So, okay. That's true.
That bad boy.
That is very true.
Everything that got you Brewery of the Year came out of that brew house.
That brew house is a workhorse.
Well, actually, on that. Yeah. Our new brew house was ready to go, and we were getting ready to brew the GABF beers, and we're like, nope, we're going to go one more week on this old system.
Do the one
Yeah, because, we're like 4,000 batches in on this. Of course, we're going to do that. But, so we
that
finished off our GABF brews and then swapped right over.
Okay. So old brew house is now back in the storage next door.
Yep.
And for sale?
It is for sale.
All right, brewers, if you're looking to expand to a 15-barrel brew house, a 15-barrel world champion California Brewer of the Year.
Multiple medals.
We'll sign it for you.
CCBA.
You'll sign, yeah.
If you want my autograph.
Won't put anything gross in it, nothing with the theme, just sign it, ghost.
I know
down,
that brew house intimately.
Yeah. Yeah. But you did say there's a part of you in every beer.
Words.
Yeah.
Oh, it's forever.
I expect nothing
else. You're not helping sell this brew house.
guys invited me. Or I am.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you know. No, I mean,
the brew house was great. It made awesome beers. So we needed ups. You know, we needed to get more volume out, and we just couldn't do it. So.
Was there a crazy learning curve on the new one, do you feel like?
Fuck yes.
Is that right?
I mean, I feel, we, you know, it wasn't so much, it was more we had a lot of issues with, it's, you know, it's a mash tun, a louder tun, a boil kettle, then a whirlpool. So we go through all four vessels. We encountered a lot of problems with the louder tun.
Okay.
I won't drop names or anything like that, but most of it came down to design.
I see.
But fortunately, the company we purchased it with has been working with us and fixing things.
Yeah.
So,
we don't have to drop names, but did the company get a phone call about the gas spec too? Like, should they have known? Or did only ask about the pressure too?
That's a different, really. I mean, like, because it's a steam based system, you just plug into the brew house. So,
yeah,
we're
kind
of disconnected from that part.
Okay.
It's more of the boiler and that company that put their specs that were a little.
I see. Okay. Wonky. Okay. Boom. All right. Fair enough. Okay. So, more vessels. Do you feel like, let's take Inhume, for example, the beer you got to brew all the time.
Yeah.
Wasn't quite the same for a couple batches, or like, that's kind of what I mean by learning curve too.
Oh, sure. Yeah, of course. Like, as far as just like the type of isomerization, everything we're having in the boil kettle.
Yeah.
Multiple batches.
Okay.
Because we're not testing for anything. We're just using our palettes to kind of dictate that. So
sure,
it took us, I mean, I guess I could have sent it off, but at the same time too, we have like the tube and chill from our boil kettle to our whirlpool, so we can temp anything we want in our whirlpool. You can do 150 degrees if you want to do a hazy, you know, get crazy, you know.
Yeah.
So with that being said, you know, it comes down to just geometry and the kind of boil off that we have. And surprisingly, we actually, from going from our direct fire to our steam, we pick up a little bit more color, which goes against everything I've ever been taught. So
you'd think the direct fire has like more melanoidin coming out of the bottom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess it was just a direct fire calandria, you know, maybe it was just less space actually getting hit.
Okay.
But we slowly, because, you know, you're always safer going a little bit lower on the IBUs than over. So we kind of had to ramp it up batch by batch by batch by batch.
Okay.
And that was a huge challenge, right? We already have a flagship, and then we have to come in and make this beer,
sure,
you know, taste the way it's been tasting for people the last expect 3 that. Years, 4 years. Yeah.
Well, you must have gotten close pretty quick. And the reason I, like, you guys are going to be sticklers about it, as you should be.
Yeah.
Especially any metal winning brewery is very concerned about subtle differences. But we talk about beers in here, beers that we get a lot, on a batch by batch basis. Like, I just got asked right now at the break how I felt our hill, whatever the fuck it's called.
Simcoe.
The Russian Ooh. River one. You know, and we get that every several months, and we talk about it every batch. What do you think? Yeah. And like this one, we think is fantastic, by the way.
It's
so
very good.
And there are ones where we've talked about breweries who have made changes where we're like, oh man, we hope they figure this out.
Oh yeah.
We don't want them to go downhill. And you guys did not come up in that conversation.
Whew.
These guys drink a lot of your beer. So I'm saying you guys, they probably were pretty subtle differences.
Enough for, like, you can ask Ryan, there was, I think it was around 3:30 a.m. one morning when I was on like 3 days of no sleep because I was just stressing the fuck out about, all the issues we were having with it. And then, I sent these guys just a long, mean email. Just basically had a mental breakdown, you know, because
I've had it.
I mean, we're perfectionists here. You know, it's like we take so much fucking pride in our beer.
And sure.
They better fucking taste good. You know, and it's like some things when you start losing control of something or, you know, you just, I don't know. But as of now, man, you know, I give Trevor a lot of props because he's kind of been the one doing all the hard work, figuring everything out.
Mm-hmm.
And reporting back to me, and then I get the credit for it.
That's how that title works, man.
Yes, you should, Justin. Yes, you should.
Yeah.
Good work,
Trevor.
As
long as we're now hitting our efficiency numbers, I'm happy.
Yeah. No. We feel comfortable now, and it's fun. We're now back at the point where, like, I didn't want to do collabs for the first few months, right?
Sure.
I'm not going to fuck this up. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, but now we're comfortable. Now we're back to the point where we're experimenting with techniques and all that because we know what the outcome's going to be.
Nice.
You know, so yeah, no, we're cruising right now.
Nice thing about the new brew system too, there's a lot of fun ways to experiment that we have now that we didn't used to have. Again, that tube and shell Going in the whirlpool, we can hit any temperature, heated mash tun,
jacketed.
You know, even jacketed. Even just in terms of techniques for our own brewing to get higher efficiency, being able to, you know, run the rakes while we're collecting, while we're sparging. Okay. You know,
hot back plumbed into it.
We have a hot, it's all these little things. Once we're comfortable with what we're using now, it's kind of a little playground as a brewer gets to use it every day.
Yeah, that's great.
Hope to get to know this one as intimately as I did the old one.
Well, and you will, I assume. Yeah.
Just talk to it.
Calm down.
Maybe
calm down.
Yeah.
Well, that's okay, buddy.
This one's still clean. Well, and efficiency must be a massive thing when you scale up too, because now you're not just worried about making the beer taste right. You're a little bit worried about spending all of Ryan's money in a wasteful fashion, because you have it dialed, like, you know you're gonna get it dialed in, but you'd rather that not take 30 batches, right?
Yes.
That was totally a big stressor at first, because we're struggling to get some of the efficiency that we wanted. So once we kind of figured that, you know, cracked that nut, it was...
What was, like, can you give me, like, a percentage? Like, your first couple batches, were you guys like, oh, shit, that is way low?
No, well, so actually, it's funny as fuck. Our very first batch was Scumbag, our cream ale that we sell through the tap room, you know, $3 pints, good shit.
Yeah.
But we went really slow with our collection rate. We're like, oh, let's go like 6 gallons per minute, but we're collecting 41 barrels. You know, so it was a 4-hour collection, which isn't feasible. But we get it, and we, like, our efficiency was through the roof. You know, we had to water back so much that it was coming out of the whirlpool, and then we had to just water back into the fermenter, and then we still couldn't dilute enough where we had to water back post fermentation.
Wow.
But then, so I'm like, sick, fuck this.
Efficiency's good.
Well, all right, we're cutting 800 pounds out of each batch. Then we go and we brew the next batch the next day. And it was just like 30% efficiency loss.
Interesting. Like, wow.
I'm like, all right, I need to go pick up 20 bags of dextrose. Fuck.
You know? Oh, no.
But, I mean, it was small little just quirky things. You know, it wasn't... And again, this is kind of just all came down to design flaws in the louder ton.
I see.
And then a couple little techniques we had to take on, but realistically, there was just some issues with how the collection ports were designed and things like that.
But, okay. But now you've been able to get it consistent now. You're not going to have a variance of 30%.
Well, I will say we allocated 8 weeks to, like, get acclimated to this system.
Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously, like, after, like, a week and a half, they're like, everything's going to shit. I'm like, 8 weeks, guys. Like, we know it's going to take. It's really frustrating, though, when you're spending time on it and you're experimenting different things. And you're just not seeing certain results. So it was like, you know. But after a while, everything was dialed back in. We had the bitterness where we wanted it. The efficiency was looking great. So it was actually kind of what I consider just normal.
Sure.
It was like a normal process. I know it was like.
It felt, worse.
Well, because you're used to what you're used to. You're used to seeing what you're used to seeing.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that.
Yeah, then, that makes sense.
Like, 4 batches in, you're like...
Yeah.
It was stressful.
I'm sure it was stressful.
It was stressful.
It wasn't like anybody was applying the pressure. It was your own pressure.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, no, Justin was applying the pressure. Well,
yeah, someone was applying pressure. But also, he's applying it to himself, too, not just...
Yeah, no, like, a lot of no sleep, but my no sleep, you know...
It would have happened.
Trevor gets beat.
In any situation when you're moving from something you've been working on for
so long.
To anything new.
Yeah.
It's always tricky. It's always tough.
Yeah.
You're right.
So true. So true.
Long story short, now it's dialed in.
It's dialed in.
For the past couple weeks has been beautiful.
Excellent.
Yeah, we're cruising.
Yeah.
It's
nice. Well, seduced. We have time for one more beer.
All right.
And I think you guys brought us one of your Hammer Smash.
Yeah.
Like a new batch of that.
Please.
No, you're good. Go right ahead.
I just want to say, I know we haven't talked about the West Coast, which, you know, we normally do.
Yeah,
the West Coast was going to be in draft, but yes, this is a hazy, but only because we were told this after talking with the indie hops, who are the, you know, they designed the hop and everything. They highly recommended we went hazy with it, and then we talked to a few other breweries that have used it last year.
Okay,
and they all said it's just
it's an experimental hop. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, just got named. I don't actually know what the numbers were last year, but it's called Luminosa from Indie Hops.
Okay, and they said go hazy.
They said go hazy. So, give it a shot. Tell me what you think.
On that note, it is still a true smash, though.
It is.
So all no this oats. One's all two row or Pilsner?
All Pilsner.
All Pilsner.
All Pilsner. No wheat, no oats, nothing of that. Just some juice yeast.
So it's a very special version of our Hammer Smash series, which is traditionally all West Coast beers.
Okay.
Because we picked this hop, we made it.
It had to be hazy.
Hazy IPA.
Yeah.
It's and it's just one hop, or
one hop,
just that new Luminosa.
That's it.
Wow.
So, which I think came out.
That's a great hop.
It's delicious.
It's really cool, right? Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, we're trying to pinpoint, like, me personally, right when it was fresh, I was just getting, like, pear and, like, mm-hmm. we're getting plum. But, you know, I mean, they label it, obviously, as Citra, passion.
Yeah,
you
know, tangerine.
I thought there's some mm-hmm. peach, mango, and then, like, plum or pluot was a big one I kept getting, coming back to. But it's definitely got that kind of peach, stone fruit.
So much, like, blood orange from it. Like, mm-hmm. the nose so then, and in the mouth.
Yeah.
Wow, I get a lot of like that northwestern Yakima Valley dank.
Just, you do? Like,
right off the bat, I get a lot of little dankness in there. And then overripe fruit. That's overripe fruit that's just permeating on your kitchen counter.
Yeah, I get that too. To eat. I get that. That's kind of the blood orange that I get. That I would also describe it as kind of overripe like that.
Yeah. That's where I also kind of describe dank coming into that category as well. It's that overripe fruit.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, that's a good hop.
No, and
okay, but now you have to try it in a West Coast too, don't you?
I don't know, man, because I've talked to a few other brewer buddies that tried it in West Coast, and they're all like,
"Doesn't do as well."
Make fucking good West Coast too, and they're just they weren't stoked with how it came out.
Wow!
I tried one of the beers from one of my friends, and as good as the beer was, you know, it was flawless. I didn't feel like the hop was doing what it should do in the style, but.
How did you get it hazy if it's only two row and pills? Aren't you supposed to do other things to it to make it hazy?
Trade secrets.
Justin's like about to spill it all out, but no.
Why don't you ask Trevor about how intimate he got with it?
hey, yeah. As Justin's always told me, I just make wort. Yeast makes the beer. The reason this is hazy is it's the yeast. The yeast is just hanging out in there. You know, this guy even got biofined. You know,
We find all of his.
Okay.
We actually, we've been, you know, not to give out any, what we do, whatever. Yeah. But lately, we're starting to get away from wheat and oats and all that because it's like the profile of this person. I mean, this is something I prefer to drink. Like, we're not big hazy drinkers out here, but this is, the body's light enough, you know, still has that residual sweetness to go with it, but it's not cloey.
I can have two pints that easy.
Yeah, you can drink more than one pint. If I drink a normal, most hazies, one pint, and I'm kind of done.
Yeah, it gets a little too slick on my tongue and everything. But no, these are, this one, I can have a couple pints of that.
It's cool. And it was fun to play around with this new hop, man. You know, so we're excited to see, you know, Indie Hops is, you know, they made Strata. That's their baby.
Okay.
Right? You know, so that's their West Coast. This is their hazy. And
every
year, I think they're going to have something new coming out, too.
So, nice.
Yeah, we'll keep an eye out and.
Yeah, that's a good beer.
Playing, part of what makes brewing fun is playing with hops. All the new hops coming out all the time. So
Well, you guys are doing good work. Keep it up. I'm excited. I assume you're going to enter the World Beer Cup this year.
Yes, sir.
You're just not allowed to go, Justin.
I'll
be the Justin there if that's how it has to go down. This time, I'll pass on the messages to you. Okay, so I'll be rooting for you at the next one, World Beer Cup. Then JBF isn't again until September this year. But in the meantime, of course, we'll keep buying your beer. If somebody listening, one of our brewery that wants to start up or wants to expand, Ryan, who do they contact to buy a award-winning Ghost Town brew house?
Hit us up at info@ghosttownbrewing.com.
There you go. And you can go to ghosttownbrewing.com and check out their beer list there. You can order beer there. You can see the hours of all the places we've talked about. And, go to the brewery if you come to town. If you're in town, I'm guessing you've already been there. But if any of our Brewing Network listeners who come to town, put Ghost Town on the list. It's very central, too. You can get to a lot of good breweries by starting at Ghost Town. That's what we do. Whenever we go anywhere here, like as a group, we kind of start at Ghost Town and then go somewhere, like just branch out from there.
That's nice. Selling here in Sante right there, you have a beautiful little winds right up there.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Is Cellar Maker open already? There.
City of Oakland will determine that.
They'll figure that one out. And I know Sante took over the old Trappist.
Trappist.
That was a smart move.
Original pattern.
Yeah.
Sick spot to go get some beer.
Factions right around the corner.
Oh, yeah. You guys are
popping a jump.
No, you guys are in a great spot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on here. I appreciate it and talking beer with me and talking about your win. I'm always so excited for you guys. So I wanted to commemorate it with a show, even though it's been several months.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, dude. Yeah. This is it's been fun.
Appreciate it.
We never get tired of talking about it.
Yes. Yeah, you shouldn't. You shouldn't. And I'm going to be rooting for three-peat. I'm allowed to because I'm not part of the team, so I'm not a jinx. I'm telling you. I'm just going to be. Yeah, that would be. That'd be something else. I mean, it's the cool. I used to get to sit in front of the stage and like hug all my friends when they win. Now I'm behind the stage. I'm pretty sure I will have to run out from behind the stage and give some hugs if you guys three-peat. It'll be too cool.
That's why I won't be there. But really cool.
You're not allowed.
Not allowed.
You can visit Justin in his room after the ceremony.
Yeah. All right, guys, thank you so much for being here. Go to ghosttownbrewing.com. You can check out everything you need to find out where to get their beer and what they're pouring and everything else over there on ghosttownbrewing.com. Don't forget, Spring Brews Festival tickets are on sale right now. They're at a big discount, so you're going to want to buy before March is what I would suggest. The Beer Fest is on March 25th right here in Concord, rain or shine, and we'd love to see you there. Also, the California Craft Brewers Conference is coming up, so get early bird tickets for that. I think early bird tickets end like January 20th. So save a little money. California brewers, you need to go to that. Especially you brewers who need to meet people and learn new things. It's a great tract of events. So check them out over at the CCBA. And I'll see you in a couple days. We've got Nate Smith coming on the show to talk about homebrewing the perfect pale ale. So you're getting two shows pretty quick out of me. All right, folks, take care of yourselves and your beer. The Session is a production of the Brewing Network and brought to you by More Beer. Check them out at morebeer.com. Find more content and live video of this show on our YouTube channel at youtube.com/brewingnetwork. For sponsorship opportunities and information, please reach out to advertising@thebrewingnetwork.com. To reach our hosts, contact feedback@thebrewingnetwork.com.